Welcome to my podcast. I am Barry Rapkin, and this is The Skeptical Analyst. And actually, it's episode 3. And the title of this episode, AI Ain't a Thing. No, AI ain't a thing. AI is a portfolio of different technologies, each with their own applications. The number of technologies that are AI technologies is growing. The number of applications for each AI technology is growing. And so it really is not a thing. To consider AI a thing, I will admit, drives me absolutely up a wall. It drives me nuts. It's a thing. No, it's not. We're going to regulate AI. No, you're not. I mean, you can pass regulations, but if you actually think those regulations are going to be followed in the way that you want, well, I really would like to know what you're drinking, because I would like some of it. Very brief history of AI, artificial intelligence, which ain't a thing. From Wikipedia, quote, the field of AI research was founded at a workshop held on the campus of Dartmouth College during the summer of 1956. 1956, almost 70 years ago. Many of the attendees, continuing the quote, predicted that a machine as intelligent as a human being would exist in no more than a generation. Eventually, it became obvious that researchers had grossly underestimated the difficulty of the project. Grossly. It's a great word. Certainly applies. Grossly underestimating the difficulty. Sort of like believing a government can regulate AI technologies. I mean, for me, that's more than underestimating. That's the height. The height of hubris. Well, we've regulated automobiles, we've regulated kitchen appliances, we've regulated the manufacturers of this physical artifact, and we've regulated the manufacturers of that physical artifact. And we can regulate AI technologies, not a problem. Actually, you know, well, you're safe, you know, feel safe with words, and so Congress in the United States will try to regulate AI technologies, and the president will issue executive orders. It just sort of reminds me of Sturm und Drang, Shakespeare. It's just all of this noise and whatever, absolutely representing nothing, because the needle is not going to move in the way that all of these regulators, whether in the United States or EU or wherever, want to move the needle. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I'd like to sort of noodle around some potential insurance industry applications of AI technologies. You know, sort of thinking about machine learning, deep learning, neural networks, fractals, large language models. Just thinking of them as one or more of a portfolio of AI technology applications. But we have to keep in mind that absolutely none of these or other AI technology applications actually think. They are not sentient entities. They might look like sentient entities. They might act like sentient entities. The results from the application of the AI technology might seem as if it's from a sentient entity, but it's not. So just noodling here, if we were all together and we had a whiteboard, do those still exist? I would want to ink up on the whiteboard. Well, insurers can use algorithms or models, that's AI technology application algorithms or models, for pricing, claim reserving possibilities, validation schedules for life agents, projecting the combined ratios of policies on the books, all of them, and policies just sold, all of them. Or perhaps you can look at your entire book of business, not by line of business, and look at it grossly, if you will, or look at it by line of business. Well, switching to large language models, we could use those to craft and or fine-tune new policy wording, agent-broker contracts, explanation of benefits to employee benefits communications. Remember, we have to assume adherence to insurance regulations in each state the insurer conducts commerce and all of this. We can also use large language models to game potential legal attacks by the plaintiff's bar for specific lawsuits happening for specific lines of business. Moving on, we could use patent recognition models to identify locations of new markets, new agency, or new broker locations, determine profitable geographic areas of current and future clients, and act on it where allowed, so we're not redlining here, just building some profitability models. Use the patent recognition of models to determine existing broker locations to remove. Not only can we identify where to put broker locations and where to do business with brokers, we can even use analytics, AI technology applications to determine who not to do business anymore with. Just because a broker is licensed with an insurance company doesn't mean we have to keep that broker firm. We could use facial recognition, iris recognition, voice recognition, sure it's good, to enable access to specific insurance facility areas like their data centers or their backup IT storage facilities like Iron Mountain, or to a facility that's a drone deployment area, the drones that are used for claim assessments after storms. Thinking about this, you could probably and maybe should think about marrying the usage of drones with AI technology applications to better locate where to send the drones and when to send the drones after the storms have passed. I'm going to move on now to chatbots. We can use chatbots, or insurers can use chatbots, to augment or replace customer service representatives. Yes, AI technology applications are going to replace people. They are. Let's not dance around that. So, chatbots to augment or replace customer service reps to deliver customer service in the appropriate language, not just English, Spanish, Portuguese, whatever that is appropriate for the clients that you want to deliver customer service to. Also, with appropriate accent so people understand. Use chatbots to provide information to new employees in each of the functional areas of the insurance company, whether it be underwriting, claims, reinsurance, marketing. Also, use chatbots to provide information to agents or brokers, whether they're new or whether they just need to, hey, I need this information about this particular new process or guideline or procedure, and the chatbot should be able to provide that information. Use AI technology applications to provide visual imagery. Create visuals from text to simulate the movement of activities within processes like the underwriting process. If I'm a new underwriter, what is actually the process that goes from activity 1 to activity 2 to activity N, the last activity, to actually do the underwriting or do this for billing or for claim management processes or for product development processes? But wait, you might cry. What about using AI technology applications to estimate losses from cyber risks? No, I don't think so. Why not? Well, because the cyber attack space is continually to unfold in multiple dimensions, in multiple directions. Each instant that a new digital artifact is connected to the web, the cyber attack space unfolds in multiple dimensions and multiple directions into infinity. Each time a new physical artifact with embedded telco capabilities, fancy way of saying an IoT, Internet of Thing, is connected to the web, the cyber attack space unfolds in multiple directions and multiple dimensions in a variety of ways, never ending, always expanding into infinity. So I don't see how you can estimate losses from cyber risk, because it's not a matter of trying to estimate the tail, the cyber loss tail. I mean, to me, it's a matter of cutting off that cyber loss tail in the first place. But using AI technology models to estimate cyber losses, I don't see how you can do it. I used to do modeling when I was in the insurance industry. I don't. You need that denominator, don't you? In fact, you need a numerator as well, but you need a denominator. How are you doing that? Please, someone, show me how you're doing that. Now, thinking about all these examples that we just talked about of using AI technologies and their applications for pricing, claim reserving, large language models, pattern recognition, facial recognition, chatbots, visual imagery. Thinking about all that, how does it actually happen? You're going to sit down at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. How does it happen? Well, I think you need data. The necessary data is going to be available. You need to have integration, I think, with the requisite systems, whether they are core administrative systems, whether they are decision support systems, whether they are finance systems. You have to have, I think, availability and integration with those systems. You can't just say, hey, we're going to use AI technology applications Monday morning at 8 a.m. Isn't that wonderful? And then go up for a cup of coffee. How actually are you going to make it happen? And you need the knowledge to make it happen. The people in the various functional departments need to understand their processes, need to understand their objectives of using the AI technology applications, and they need to know when they succeed. So it's not just as easy as saying, let's do it. And 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, Monday morning, it's done. That's not going to happen. And that's all I really have to say on this AI Ain't a Thing podcast. Obviously, there's a lot more to say about artificial intelligence, its history, its context, the various technologies, and the applications of those technologies. And as you all know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of books written about it, and probably many more multiple-fold blog posts and podcasts. But I think that's it for me. So this is a wrap. And this is the March podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I think that the April podcast, I'm going to switch topics a little bit and discuss the digital insurer. What is a digital insurer anyway? It's certainly not a thing unto itself. It's part of an ecosystem. It's part of a supply chain. It's part of a environment with clients and prospects and regulators. But at any rate, that's it for me. That's a wrap. Thank you for listening.